Heavenly Father, we pray on this Pentecost Sunday, you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' holy name, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends and clients, today Holy Mother Church celebrates its birthday. The Church was born publicly then at Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came down in a powerful way upon Our Lady, the apostles, the disciples in the upper room so powerfully that the Holy Spirit took the form visibly in flames, and the breath of God was there, the wind. And so the Church today, the deacons, priests, we wear the red vestments. Now the Holy Spirit, when you hear in the Scriptures, or read in the Scriptures, St. John the Baptist, St. Elizabeth, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, or Simeon, different Old Testament prophets. It means that they were filled with the love of God. The Holy Spirit wants to perfect us in love, where God's love just permeates our whole being. We love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. The Holy Spirit enlightens our minds with the truths taught by Christ and His Church, and the Holy Spirit strengthens our wills to conform our lives to those truths. Now, there's a tension that goes on in the world during our pilgrimage of life. There's the true love that God wants us to live as His love, but then the world's competing for that. The world, the devil, the flesh wants us to love them rather than God. And to the extent that we allow God's love to dominate our life, we have a love, joy, and peace in our heart. And to the extent we have the devil, the flesh, the world, loving that instead, we're going to have lack of peace, lack of love, and joy. Now, Pope John Paul II, he was talking about these different spirits. And he said there's a great deception that's prevalent in the world. This is at World Youth Day in Toronto. By God's grace, he was there in 2002 when he said this. He said, the greatest deception and the deepest source of unhappiness is the illusion of finding life by excluding God, of finding freedom by excluding moral truths and personal responsibility. What he is saying here, the world presents this picture. You could have joys and pleasure, you could have all these things. It excludes God. You don't need prayer. You don't need the sacraments. You don't need the church. You don't need the church or the Bible, anybody telling you how you should live your life. Exclude that. But he said that's a deception. That's a trap. If you fall for that, you will not have the happiness, joy, and the peace that God wants you to have. So don't fall for that illusion. Now, our life in the Holy Spirit, our life of Christians, begins when we are baptized. That's our birthday into the church. When we're baptized, what happens at that moment, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. And that's the beginning of our spiritual journey, the beginning of our transformation in Christ. If you've been in the baptism, you know the prayers, those graces that are perfected when confirmation comes. Now, so the soul is possessed then by the Holy Spirit when it's baptized. And what happens then, that's the beginning of the spiritual life. And if we're praying and letting the Holy Spirit work with us, there's different graces developing. The next stage of the spiritual life, as with the soul, we're being transformed more and more into Christ. And it's really tough. The beginning to work out those graces is loving our own family, loving those people in our immediate proximity of life. And the last stage of the spiritual life is beautiful. We allow the Holy Spirit to continue to guide us. The soul rests in the bosom of the Heavenly Father. And there's an unlimited resource of peace, joy, and courage that's in the heart. They can put up with all kinds of difficulties. And love just pours out from us. Now, it's a lifelong practice, lifelong discipline to obtain that by cooperating with God's grace. Now, I'll give you three things to help the Holy Spirit for all of us to work more in our life. It's primarily the practice of charity, right? Because the love of God, the love of the Father is so strong as a person. It's the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. So if we zero in and trying to practice the supernatural virtue of charity, we allow the Holy Spirit then to transform our lives in much rapid pace. So three things we can do. First is prayer. Second, recollection. Third, spirit of mortification. So prayer, where we place ourselves in the presence of God, we pray to the Holy Spirit. I mean, in the presence of God, where we blot out the distractions and we really give God that time where we're focusing on Him. Now, it's beautiful to pray in the car, praying the rosary. It's beautiful to pray as you're going for a walk, praying the rosary, all these different things. But there's something about dedicated prayer time, where you're giving it to the Lord. So you enter into that, and we pray to the Holy Spirit. Now, once we develop that, what happens The soul goes to the next stage by the Holy Spirit of recollection. What happens if we start reflecting on our lives and our life, how it relates to others, and then primarily how our life is compared to Jesus Christ when we read the scriptures, or how our life compares to our saints, our confirmation, our patron saints, and confirmation. And we read the lives of the saints to see how the Holy Spirit's working there and what we need to work on. And then in that stage, after prayer, we go to recollection. In that recollection stage, if we allow that to grow in us, we start making resolutions. I really need to work on this area of my life, or this area. And if we're faithful to that, the Holy Spirit takes us to the next level, where we willingly have the spirit of mortification, where we seek out opportunities to die to self for love of Christ. That's a wonderful, wonderful process. Now, Pentecost, how did the Holy Spirit come down in such a powerful way on Our Lady and the apostles and disciples? It just didn't happen like that. Remember, our Lord said, I want you to go pray. Our Lord ascended to heaven. He said, I will send the Advocate. And so they're praying for 9 days. You can imagine they were fasting up there too in the upper room. They were dedicated to prayer. Mary was there. It's so important to have Mary in our spiritual life. And because of those factors, they were totally receptive to the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to share this experience and then relate it to you personally. This happened maybe 6 years ago. I've told some people, I don't think I've ever said this from the pulpit. One particular day, I came over to the church here, and I was standing by the baptismal font and in between the papal flag there. And I think I just opened or closed the window, okay? And I was thinking about the Holy Spirit. It must have been near Pentecost. And so many times in Scripture read, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I held up my arms like this, over standing by the papal flag, looking out this way towards the church. And I said, Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name, fill this church with your Holy Spirit. Now this is something. The exact moment that I did that and said that prayer, no one else was here except the Lord and the angels. The doors of the church opened up all by themselves. I was like, whoa. And for a moment, I was in awe. Now, you can look, there's a natural explanation, okay? Maybe it's a windy day. Sometimes a windy day that opens those glass doors there. Maybe it was such a gust of wind that it hit the doors there. Okay, but at that exact moment, that timing, I was like awestruck. I was like, whoa. Now, when we receive our Lord in the Holy Communion, we could ask, Father, in Jesus' name, Jesus who I have here now in the Eucharist, in my very own home under my roof, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know why a lot of us were not filled with the Holy Spirit? Because we have resistance. We have blocks of the Holy Spirit. I bet you all of us here, one time or another, maybe daily, you've had this inclination, a thought, I should be spending more time in prayer. Ooh, I should be going to the Adoration Chapel Father Parker's been talking about. If you haven't been there, it's been like a year, I tell you, you are resisting the Holy Spirit in a very strong way. So we have these inclinations. Those are from the Holy Spirit. But if we resist that, the Holy Spirit's not going to bend our will and put us in a headlock and say, you're going to believe and let me into your heart. God is very gentle. God is very gentle. So we have to ask ourselves, okay, what am I doing in my life to resist the action of the Holy Spirit of transforming me? It could be as simple as I'm falling for this false deception of the world, thinking I could find happiness here by excluding God. How many people do we know? They're not praying daily. They're not going to Mass. They're not frequenting the sacrament. Talk about putting up a block or resistance to the Holy Spirit. But the beautiful thing about God's mercy is He never gives up even on those souls who aren't going to His house. He doesn't give up. They're still not gently on their hearts. They'll keep knocking. Keep knocking. Sometimes the wall for them gets thicker and thicker and makes it more difficult, the Holy Spirit. But with God, all things are possible. Real briefly, these readings here. Our Lord says here in the Gospel, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know what the Lord's hitting on there? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're filled with my love, you'll be able to keep the commandments in an easy fashion. But they won't be burdensome. We'll readily practice virtue. St. Paul, this reading the Romans, letters to the Romans, chapter 8, he makes a distinction between spirit of the world, the spirit of slavery that holds people in bondage, and then the spirit of adoption of God, the adoption when we're baptized, the spirit by which we live. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. The spirit of the flesh, spirit of the world, the devil. But if by the spirit, You will put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live, that you won't go that pace, and you'll live, and then you'll be set free. So if we're not living in the Holy Spirit, we're really slaves to something else that's not of God, and that's not a good thing. So all of us, Pentecost really is an examination of conscience for us. It's why haven't I been totally transformed into Christ? And I'll leave you with this, something really concrete, something that we could really zero on. So the Holy Spirit, again, is that love between the Father and the Son. If we focus on that virtue of developing charity in our lives, it allows God to work more and more in our lives and more and more receptive. So here's something I think we all could work on to one degree or another. The charity of the tongue. The charity of the tongue. How many times have we seen by tongues, by someone speaking badly about other, or gossiping and stuff like that, it creates a disunity. Disunity is not of the Holy Spirit, it's of the evil spirit. Where there's a unity and a cohesion, the Holy Spirit is working there. Because you know in the scriptures, especially the Acts of the Apostles, they were praying as one mind, one body, they were praying in accord. That's the Holy Spirit bringing it together. So here's what we look at, the speech. Three quick don'ts and do's. First, it's all about speech. First, well, not all about speech, but the virtue of charity. First, don't speak unkindly of anyone. Okay, don't speak unkindly of anyone. Second, don't speak unkindly to anyone. Third, don't act unkindly towards anyone. Okay? And then on the positive side, first, do speak kindly of someone at least once a day. Now let's think about it. Okay, do speak kindly about someone at least once a day. It starts training the mind to look for God's Holy Spirit working in other people's lives. Because there's good in all of us, because we're created from God, right? And He died for us on the cross, redeemed us by His precious blood. So there's goodness in all of us. So first, do speak kindly of someone at least once a day. Second, do think kindly about someone at least once a day. So if we're thinking kindly about someone, guess what? We're probably going to be speaking kindly of others. And third, do act kindly towards someone at least once a day. So that's something we could do with the virtue of charity to allow the Holy Spirit to work more in our lives. So let me just, I want to say this prayer for you. After the experience with the papal, by the papal flag there, I want you to bow your heads. I'm going to ask God just to help all of us. Heavenly Father, each and every one of us here are sinners. We acknowledge that. But we also realize your great mercy. Father, grant us the light of the Holy Spirit to truth to see where we are resisting the movements, the actions of the Holy Spirit in our life. And Father, I pray in your great mercy, please help us remove those blocks, to tear down those walls. And Father, I pray in Jesus' holy name, on this Pentecost Sunday, fill everyone here with your Holy Spirit. Breathe in them, O breath of God. Fill them with your life, your joy, and peace anew. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.